of the remnant set us afire. We are the remnant, Lord, set our souls afire. We are the remnant of the Lord from all the nations of the world. We are the remnant, Lord, use these souls afire. We are the remnant, set us afire. We are the remnant, Lord, set our souls afire. We are the remnant of the Lord from all the nations of the world. We are the remnant, Lord, set our souls afire. From every tongue and every tribe, called of God and set aside, with the power from on high, anointed with your fire. We are the remnant, Lord, use these souls of fire. We are the remnant, set us afire. We are the remnant, Lord, set our souls afire. We are the remnant of the Lord, from all the nations of the world. We are the remnant, Lord, use these souls of fire. Lost, Lord, anointed with your fire, and we will preach Christ and him crucified to every tongue and every tribe, so they will then decide to be the remnant, Lord, set their souls afire. We are the remnant, set us afire. We are the remnant, Lord, set our souls afire. We are the remnant of the Lord from all the nations of the world. We are the remnant, Lord, set our souls afire. We are the remnant, set us afire. We are the remnant.
Greetings to all my Israelite kinsmen and women. Divine influence be with you. This is part one of Remnant. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Remnant is found in the Word Studies menu. Who is the remnant? The churches teach that Christians are the spiritual remnant, that they are the elect who have been called and chosen by God through grace. These elect have received what Israel did not: spiritual redemption, salvation, and a relationship with God. Some denominations teach that the remnant is the 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Some say that when the New Testament reads Israel, it doesn't mean the literal nation of Israel, because the literal nation of Israel are no longer God's chosen people. Christians have now taken on the name Israel in a spiritual sense. Some teach that if you are not part of God's remnant, that it's time to join with God's end-time people, the Church. The Seventh-day Adventist Church says they are the only ones that fit the attributes of God's remnant. All these denominational beliefs about the remnant in the Hebrew Old Testament verses ignore the fact that each use and example of the remnant is referring to a small group of Israelites that survived the invasions and exile of the Assyrians, and of the ones who have returned to Jerusalem from the Babylonian captivity. These denominations say the New Testament verses refer to a faithful remnant of Christians chosen by grace. There are over 33,000 different denominations of Christianity today, all of which have their own doctrines and beliefs, and they all use different Bibles and call upon a God with different names and titles. Is Christianity a religion that suits the believer, the church, or the denomination? Is our God a God that has no problem with all these different beliefs? Does he approve of churches going their own way? When it comes down to it, there is all these different beliefs which claim Christianity, and there is only one belief, which is the belief. One thing all these denominations can agree on is that the remnant is God's elected group that will survive and be delivered. The question is, which belief is the truth? Which group is the remnant? There are so many beliefs, but there is only one that is the truth, only one that is the belief. When you think about it, only the remnant has the belief. And that's a very small portion of us, for many are called, but few are chosen. The belief is not for all, and it is up to Yahweh to draw whom he will. So what is a remnant? Remember Gideon's 300 out of 32,000? 300 is 0.9375% of 32,000. That's not even 1%. What about Noah and his family, out of everybody else, including the Nephilim giants, when the fountains of the deep in that region, the Tarim Basin, broke, and the rains fell and cleansed the land? 8 souls out of all the inhabitants of the land at that time were preserved by Yahweh. What about Joshua and Caleb? 2 out of over 600,000 men to enter the promised land. What about David? 1 out of 8 sons chosen. 1 brave boy out of thousands of soldiers. What about the remnant of 42,000 Judahites who returned to Jerusalem from Babylonian captivity, from out of several million Israelites who were either killed, scattered, or taken captive? What about the parable of the sower? How only a few seeds take root while the other 3 groups of seeds are devoured, dried up because of shallow belief, or were choked by the thorns. Think of a 5-gallon bucket filled with sand. With your fingers, take a pinch of sand. That is a remnant. But some will say, what about all the believers and Christians in all the denominational churches? Aren't they all saved, and wouldn't they be more than 1%? What about all those megachurches and the millions of people Billy Graham and others saved? Statistics show that 75% of Americans identify with a Christian religion. Well, how many of those 75%ers are actually true Christians? The answer is maybe 1%. If that's hard to believe, then how about 10%? Does that sound better? After all, 75% of Americans claim they are Christians, so they must be, right? So, is Christianity a religion where you get to choose which path leads to Jesus, or that you get to accept him? Do you get to choose which version of the Bible to believe, or which denomination to attend, and then claim that you have the faith? Is God black for the blacks, and Chinese for the Chinese people, and Latino for the Mexicans? Must be, because he's called Jesus by all of them. But if you say he's white, then wouldn't you be a racist? Wouldn't he be a racist? The truth is, none of these religions even know, because their belief and their scriptural understanding is shallow and built upon lies. Their doctrines are based on their own versions and understanding and opinions of what Scripture says. Many of these denominations were invented specifically to deceive would-be Christians. The rest are just doctrines of men, trying and thinking that they are doing right. But thinking you are doing right does not make what you are doing right. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Although all these denominations are a little different, they all basically believe that the Jews are the people of the Old Testament and the New Testament is for the church, the believers, and Gentiles. They all believe Jesus was a Jew, or some other ethnicity, and that he died for everybody, and when you believe in him, you become one of God's children. None of them understand that the Bible is about two seed lines of peoples, and they all have no idea of the true identity of those two seed lines. There is a difference between all the denominational churches and their beliefs, and the belief. Although it appears as if the churches are teaching Scripture, they most definitely are not. They are continuing to spread the untempered mortar of falsehood and a counterfeit religion which has a form of Christianity, but is not Christianity. 2 Corinthians 11:14, "And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as a messenger of light." Many times the prophets, apostles, and Christ warn us to not be deceived by false doctrine or any other doctrine other than that which was originally taught. The English, the King James Version, or any other version, the preacher, or the opinion, does not override the original words and meanings found in the Hebrew and Greek records. Judeo-Christianity is not Christianity. Denominational Christianity is not Christianity. The English language does not have the authority over the original languages, which the churches and so-called Christians never examine. There are many false Christs, many false brethren, and many false denominations. Only one faith, or belief, is the belief, and the 1% are the ones that understand it. The 1% are the ones Yahweh has chosen to see, hear, understand, respond, and take hold of, and live it. These 1%ers are his witnesses, the remnant. We are the ones who understand who we are and whose we are. We know who the racial enemies are and how they operate. We keep the laws and commands of our Elohim and call upon his name, Yahweh. We have the knowledge of our heritage and history, of the promises and covenants, the prophecies and the signs. We keep the Shabbats and feast days. We continue to study and deepen our knowledge and understanding of the Word. We repent and pray daily. We do not eat unclean animals and do not partake in the satanic goodies which this Jewish society offers. We don't sit in our own pew in a pagan church under a sun pillar with the symbol of Tammuz, on the day of the sun god, and worship a Haimi Jesus and tolerate homos and race mixing. We don't just believe and claim we are saved already, and because even though Scripture says we will all go through tribulation, we get to escape in the rapture. We don't be good on Sunday for an hour and then go sin the rest of the week. Even if it's an ignorance, it's still sin. The law was not done away with. That is why obedience and knowledge is the beginning of wisdom. It is Yahweh who draws whom he chooses, and he only wants those who will respond and come up out of the Jewish matrix of deceit and follow him. Going to church or claiming you are a Christian is not responding to Yahweh. It's just ignorantly following the rest of the deceived herd into the ditch. It's those 74% of so-called Christians who will be told, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you Jew lovers and supporters of Israel and all that is unholy." No, we will not die in those beliefs. We, the 1%, the remnant, will live by the belief. The remnant can only be the few of our race that follow the way, obey, and live and practice the laws and heritage of our people. The remnant is only those of the children of Jacob Israel, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and today, because it's all one testament. The remnant is never the church, Gentiles, believers, Jews, or any other race. Yes, Scripture records remnants of giants and cursed seed tribes escaping or remaining after wars. But Scripture also records that none of those remnants will survive Judgment Day. Those remnants are obviously not God's people and will not be included in this study. Besides, if Yahweh were to destroy all the evil, then how would this life still be a test? The evil is there as stumbling blocks, to see if his remnant will follow him instead of the evil world. Let's examine all the verses and see what Scripture says about the remnant. Genesis 7:1. And Yahweh said unto Noah, "Come you and all your family into the ark, for you have I seen righteous, or just, before me in this generation, or age." Since the fall in the garden, the children of Adam had become a multitude, along with the children of Cain and the giants. Lots of race mixing and angelic intercourse, and as a result, Noah and his family were the only righteous, unmixed, and faithful ones left in the land. Yahweh cleansed the land by the deluge. Verse 21, "And all flesh died that moved upon the land, both of fowl, and of cattle, and of beast, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the land, and every man." Man is H120, Adam. All the corrupted Adamites in the land were destroyed along with the giants and the children of Cain. Verse 22, "All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died." Breath of life in verse 15 is different than here in verse 21, because the animals did not have divine intellect. Verse 15, it's H7307, Ruach. Verse 22 has Ruach as well as Neshama, which is divine inspiration, intellect. This shows that the creation and formation of men that Yahweh made, that became corrupted, were destroyed. A great purging, and only Noah and his family were preserved. Verse 23, "And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man, and cattle, and creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the land. And Noah only remained, or was left, or spared, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the land 150 days. The flood was not worldwide, it was regional. In verse 23, H7604 is sha'ar, a verb, and means to remain, reserve, be left, spare, and remnant. Not only is this symbolic of Judgment Day, which will be of fire, leaving only the righteous, but it also shows that there is no rapture. because in every example of purging in Scripture, the righteous always remain while the evil is taken out. Jacob and his whole family were returning to the land of his kindred as Yahweh commanded him. He was met by Esau and his family on the way, and Jacob was concerned for his family's lives, because Esau despised Jacob and swore he would kill him. Jacob divided his family into two companies and prayed to Yahweh to deliver him and his family. Genesis 32:8. And he said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left, or which remains, shall escape, or be in safety, or be delivered." Jacob wanted his family to have a chance to survive, even if only a remnant escaped. Yahweh sent his divine messengers to appear unto Esau and his people as 2,000 men of war. Because of this, Esau and his men became greatly afraid of his brother Jacob and went to meet him in peace. Yahweh preserves and delivers his remnant. Now, Esau was not a Jew. He was a Hebrew just as his brother. But Esau race-mixed with the daughters of Heth, which had the satanic blood of Cain and the incestuous blood of Canaan in them, spawning the brood of devils known as Edomite Jews. These two houses of Jews, Canaanite and Edomite Jews, would continue the enmity of Genesis 3:15 against the children of Israel throughout history and unto the day of judgment. The Jews are responsible for the falling away of our people because of their subtle, poisonous propaganda. They control the flow of almost all information and education, and the masses are drugged by pharmaceuticals and radiated by Wi-Fi into zombies of Christendom. These Jews are responsible for all the blood shed of our people from Abel to Zacharias, as stated by Christ, who is speaking to the Edomite Jew Pharisees. It is these Jews that have perverted the Torah of Moshe, instigated the 33,000 denominations and many versions of false Christianity, infiltrated into every nation on earth, and control them through usury and banking, and now own everything, control everything, and poison us all the day long with false doctrine, GMO food, chemtrails, pharmakia, porn, gambling, multiculturalism, and continuous propaganda of lies and moral degradation. They bring their Jewish values everywhere they go. When you understand who is who in Scripture, then you will understand why there is only a small remnant of true Christians. In chapter 45, Joseph finally reveals his identity to his brothers, which had no idea that he was still alive. Joseph had risen to the second in command under Pharaoh while in Mitzrayim, because Yahweh was with him because he was righteous and called upon him. Genesis 45:4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Mitzrayim. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me here. For Elohim did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And Elohim sent me before you to preserve you a posterity, or a remnant of descendants, in the land, and to save your lives by a great deliverance, or by a great escape." Joseph was a type of Christ. The symbolism in the Scriptures tell us over and over the plan, the way. Posterity is H 7611, Sheh Irith, and means a remainder, a remnant of descendants. Deliverance is H6413, peletal, and means escape, deliverance, remnant. The Septuagint has, "For Elohim sent me before you, that there might be left to you a remnant upon the earth, even to nourish a great remnant of you." In chapter 4, obedience is commanded, idolatry is forbidden, and Israel is the chosen nation. Deuteronomy 4:1. "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you might live, and go in and possess the land which Yahweh Elohim of your forefathers gives you." This applies to wherever we Israelites are living. The law is for our preservation, if we follow it. Verse 2, "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim which I command you." The whole doctrine of the churches are added by them to the word. The doctrine and laws of Scripture have been diminished from the word, and these churches do not keep the commandments and instructions of Yahweh. Verse 3, "Your eyes have seen what Yahweh did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, Yahweh your Elohim has destroyed them from among you. But you that did cleave unto Yahweh your Elohim are alive, every one of you, this day." Our people follow Baal today in the churches. They call upon the Lord Baal and his Jewish son Jesus. They follow the perversions which have been taught generation after generation and continue to teach the same lies to their children. Verse 25, "When you shall beget children and children's children, and you shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of Yahweh your Elohim to provoke him to anger, I call the sky and the land to witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And Yahweh shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left, or, and you shall be spared, few in number among the nations, where Yahweh shall lead you, or lead you into exile." This happened because our ancestors broke the covenant and were divorced and sold into exile. The penalty of sin is death. Yahweh made promises to Abraham, and because of that, we are not fully destroyed. Punishment is a purge, and the ones that make it through are the remnant. A remnant of the house of Judah returned to Jerusalem after Babylonian captivity. Chapter 28 details the blessings from obedience and the curses of disobedience. These are still in effect today. Deuteronomy 28:58. "If you will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, Yahweh, thy Elohim, then Yahweh will make your plagues extraordinary, and the plagues of your seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid of, and they shall cleave unto you. Also, every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will Yahweh bring upon you, until you be destroyed." How many people in church are sick and plagued? Physically, many of them. Mentally and spiritually, all of them. verse 62, "And you shall be left," or "and you shall be spared, few in number, whereas you were as the stars of the skies for multitude, because you would not obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim." No matter how many times the nation sins, Yahweh will never destroy all of it. All Israelites won't be saved, but a remnant of each tribe will always be preserved. Verse 63, "And it shall come to pass that as Yahweh rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so Yahweh will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught," or "to exterminate you. And you shall be plucked from off the land wherever you go to possess it." It's a good thing that mean old God of the Old Testament changed into the God of love in the New Testament. Well, He is the same God always, and if you are a Jew-loving, pork-eating pew-warmer for Jewish Jesus, then He won't think twice to destroy a twofold child of hell. H-8300 is Sarid and means survivors, remnant, that which is left. Joshua and Judges use H-8300 mostly and is in relation to leaving none remaining of the cursed seed tribes. Destroying everything, the city, the men, women, and children. There's no need to cover those verses. During the time of the Judges, the tribe of Benjamin was leading the charge of gay pride. A very large portion of them were exactly what's going on in society today, LGBTQ. Rampant sexual abominations. These Benjaminites raped and killed the wife of a Levite. The children of Israel went out as one man and almost entirely destroyed the tribe of Benjamin. The people of Israel wept sore about the slaughter of their own brethren and lifted up their voices to Yahweh. Judges 21:15. "And the people repented them," or "they were sorry," for Benjamin, because that Yahweh had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. Then the elders of the congregation said, "How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing the women are destroyed out of Benjamin?" And they said, "There must be an inheritance for them that escaped," or "for the survivors, the remnant, of Benjamin, that a tribe be not destroyed out of Israel." Is there an inheritance for the homos in the church today? You bet. The fires of Gehinnom. Yahweh tells Elijah to anoint Hazael to be king of Syria, Jehu, king over Israel, and Elisha to be prophet in Elijah's place. Yahweh was fixin' to clean house of the unrighteous Israelites using these men. 1 Kings 19:18. "Yet I, Yahweh, have left," or "spared, me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him." Rabshakeh was the chief cupbearer for Sennacherib, king of Assyria, who laid siege against Jerusalem, demanding them to surrender. The Assyrians had already taken away the northern house of Israel and much of Judah. When Hezekiah heard the words of Rabshakeh, he sent for Isaiah the prophet. 2 Kings 19:4. "It may be Yahweh your Elohim will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria his master has sent to reproach the living Elohim, and will reprove the words which Yahweh your God has heard. Wherefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant," or "the posterity, that are left in Jerusalem." H. 7611 is used because the remnant in Jerusalem is of Israelites. Hezekiah is asking Isaiah to pray for the remnant of their kinsmen that are left in Jerusalem. 2 Kings 19:30. And the remnant, or, and the spared, that is escaped, or delivered, of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Yerushalayim shall go forth a remnant, or a posterity, and they that escape, or they that are delivered out of Mount Zion, the zeal of Yahweh of hosts shall do this. Yahweh did deliver Yerushalayim from the Assyrians because they repented and reformed to the way. Although Jerusalem was eventually taken by the Babylonians, a remnant returned, re-established the law, and brought in the Messiah. Yahweh always keeps a remnant. When Christ came, he came to the Israelites of Judah, which received the gospel first. The fruit in verse 30 is a reference to the spreading of the gospel by the remnant that received it. Manasseh was an evil king. He rebuilt the high places of pagan worship, the altars for Baal, and made Asherah poles and served them. 2 Kings 21:12. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Yerushalayim and Yehuda, that whosoever hears of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Yerushalayim the measuring line of Samaria, and the plummet of the house of Ahab. And I will wipe Yerushalayim as a man wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant, and I will forsake the posterity of my inheritance, and deliver them into the hand of their hated enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their hated enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight, and have provoked me to anger, since the day their forefathers came forth out of Mitzrayim, even unto this day. The reforms of Hezekiah preserved the people of Jerusalem, until his son Manasseh ruined their peace with all his evil ways. The remnant of Jerusalem was now going to become even smaller, a remnant of a remnant. The Babylonians were sent to thin them out some more. 2 Kings 25:8. And in the 5th month, on the 7th day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, unto Yerushalayim. And he burnt the house of Yahweh, and the king's house, and all the houses of Yerushalayim, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. And all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard, or the grandee of executioners, break down the walls of Yerushalayim round about. Now the rest, or now the remainder of the people that were left, or survived, or were spared, in the city, and the fugitives that fell away, or defected, or prostrated, to the king of Babylon, with the remnant, or the rest of the multitude, did Nebuzaradan, the grandee of executioners, carry away. But the grandee of executioners left, or left behind, of the poor of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen. They left the poor farmers and such to maintain food and labor for the troops of the Babylonian armies that would remain there and occupy the land they just took. Rest and remnant in verse 11 are H 3499, yether, meaning the remainder, the rest, a remnant. J Chapter 6 is the record of the sons of Levi. Kohath was the second son of Levi. The Kohathites had the duty of bearing the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, during the 40 years in the wilderness. Korah was Kohath's grandson. Korah and his men gathered against Moshe and Aharon for the chief office of the priesthood. Yahweh opened up the ground and swallowed up Korah and all who were with him, including their families and goods. 1 Chronicles 6:70. And out of the half-tribe of Manasseh, Aner with her suburbs, and Bileam with her suburbs, for the family of the remnant, or the remainder, of the sons of Kohath. Only a small remnant of the sons of Kohath were spared. Those would have been the righteous ones. The days of Saul as king of Israel were coming to an end, and David was often in hiding from him. Yahweh finally had enough of Saul's rejection of the word of Yahweh, so he slew him. And David's men and all of Israel came and made a covenant with him, and anointed him according to the word of Samuel. 1 Chronicles 12:38. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. Rest is H7611, She'arith, and means the rest, the remainder, posterity, descendants. Here in verse 38, the use of the word remnant does not apply because the context is that the remaining posterity of the nation of Israel were of one heart. This is actually what the national remnant will be like in the kingdom. All of one heart, one belief, and one king, Yeshua HaMashiach. The rest that don't make it will be because they made Lord Baal their king, believed other beliefs rather than the belief. 2 Chronicles 12:1. And it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom, and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of Yahweh, and all Israel with him. And it came to pass, that in the 5th year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, because they had transgressed against Yahweh. Shishak came with 1,200 chariots, 300,000 horsemen, and soldiers without number. Verse 5. Then came Shemaiah, the prophet, to Rehoboam, and to the officers of Judah, that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, Thus says Yahweh, You have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Whereupon the officers of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, Yahweh is righteous. James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh, and he shall lift you up. Verse 7. And when Yahweh saw that they had humbled themselves, the word of Yahweh came to Shemaiah, saying, They have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance, meaning, set them in safety for a little while. And my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they shall know my service, and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. Deliverance is H6413, Peletah, a noun, and means escape, deliverance, remnant. The Septuagint has it best. But I will set them in safety for a little while. Yahweh knew the nation would again fall away in apostasy, but for now their repentance pardoned them. Hezekiah, king of Judah, was a good king. He made reforms and resumed the keeping of the Passover. They missed the appointed day because the priests were not sufficiently sanctified and the people were not gathered yet. So Hezekiah set up the Passover for the following month. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 5. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come and keep the Passover unto Yahweh Elohim of Israel at Yerushalayim. For they had not done it of a long time, in such sort as it is written. So the posts went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, You children of Yisrael, turn again unto Yahweh Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yisrael, and he will return to the remnant, or the spared, or the survivors of you that are escaped, or were left out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And be not like your forefathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against Yahweh Elohim of their forefathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. Remnant in verse 6 is H7604, Sha'ar, and means to remain, left, survive, to spare. The ones that were spared were the obedient. These invasions are punishments on the nation, and Yahweh culls the unrighteous by giving them to the sword. When Josiah was king, he did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh. He purged Jerusalem from the high places, the Asherah poles, carved and molten images, the altars of Baalim, burned the bones of the priests, and broke down the sun pillars, which are steeples, exactly what today's so-called Christian churches have on them. Josiah then ordered the repair of the temple. 2 Chronicles 34:9. And when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was bought into the house of Elohim, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and all of the remnant, or the rest of Israel, and all of Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. As the repair went on, they found the Torah. Verse 18. Then Shaphan, the scribe, told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the Torah, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan, the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king's, saying, Go, inquire of Yahweh for me, and for them that are left, or spared, in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of Yahweh that is poured out upon us, because our forefathers has not kept the word of Yahweh to do after all that is written in this book. The Septuagint has, and for everyone that is left in Israel and Yehuda. The Geneva has, and for the rest in Israel and Yehuda. Left and the rest is H7604, Sha'ar. These would be those who were left, survived, or were spared from the Assyrian invasion and deportation. That would be the obedient or convertible ones. The wrath came for the unrighteous ones. These that were spared understood what happened and were zealous for the Torah and good works. The remnant is always the obedient ones. After a string of evil kings, Yahweh sent the Babylonians to finish off Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles 36:17. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. 2 Kings 25:11. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city, and the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon, with the remnant of the multitude, did Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carry away. Verse 18. And all the vessels of the house of Elohim, great and small, and the treasures of the house of Yahweh, and the treasures of the king, and of his officers, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of Elohim, and brake down the walls of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped, and the remnant, from the sword, carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiahu, until the land had enjoyed her Shabbats. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Shabbat, to fulfill 70 years. Among the things that the Israelites failed to do was keep the land Shabbat every 7 years. They did not do this for 70 years, hence 70 years captivity in Babylon. Yahweh warned his people to accept their punishment because he had passed judgment. They were going to be invaded, destroyed by the sword, and taken into captivity. He wanted them to trust him, and he promised them he would preserve them while they were in exile. Most of the people tried to flee to Egypt for protection. Many died by the sword, and the ones left alive, or spared by Yahweh, went into captivity. A remnant returned after the captivity and rebuilt Jerusalem. Ezra 3:8. Now in the 2nd year of their coming unto the house of Elohim at Jerusalem, in the 2nd month, began Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Yeshua the son of Josedech, and the remnant, or the rest, of their brethren the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites, from 25 years old and upward, to set forward the work of the house of Yahweh. Only a small remnant returned from Babylonian captivity to rebuild Jerusalem. The captivity was a purging of the unrighteous and a refining of those willing to follow his ways. Remnant in verse 8 is H7605, She'ar, and is a noun, the remnant, or the rest of the remnant that came out of captivity. Chapter 9 is Ezra's prayer, which the churches never read because of the plain rebukes of race mixing. Ezra 9:7. Since the days of our forefathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings, our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. The phrase confusion of face in the context, which is the abomination of race mixing, is when one race mixes with another, the offspring is not the familiar face. Hence, mixed, polluted, a broken cistern, a mamzer. Even Daniel in Babylon prays to Yahweh for Israel's race mixing, which brings Yahweh confusion of faces, and is one of the major sins against the nation. Verse 8. And now, for a little space, favor has been shown from Yahweh our Elohim to leave, or to spare us a remnant to escape, or to spare us a deliverance, or to spare a remnant of unmixed Israelites, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our Elohim may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. The Geneva has, in causing a remnant to escape. A nail in his holy place is a leader who will bring stability to his people. Verse 13, and after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds of idolatry and whoredom, and for our great trespass of race mixing, seeing that you, our Elohim, has punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and have given us such deliverance, or, and has given us an escape as this, meaning deliverance from Babylonian captivity and a fresh start in a rebuilt Jerusalem. Verse 14, should we again break your commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Would not you be angry with us till you have consumed us, so that there should be no remnant, or no descendants, nor escaping, or nor survivor? The Septuagint reads, whereas we have repeatedly broken thy commandments and intermarried with the people of the lands, be not angry with us to our utter destruction, so that there should be no remnant or escaping one. Verse 15, O Yahweh, Elohim of Yisrael, you are righteous, for we remain, or for we have been reserved, or spared, yet escaped, or yet a remnant, as it is this day. Behold, we are before you in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before you because of this. These returning Judahites were thankful for being left as a remnant rather than destroyed as the others. They answered the call and were ready for a new start. Yahweh always reserves himself an obedient remnant. In verse 9, confusion of face is the product of race mixing with other races. When you have a child with one from another race, not only are you denying Yahweh a pure-blooded Israelite child, but you have brought into this world a broken cistern, a vessel that cannot hold the spirit of Yahweh. This is called a bastard, or mamzer in the Hebrew. It's a mongrel race which does not look like either race, hence confusion of face. Yahweh will not accept it. It may sound harsh, but it's Yahweh's law. It's not the child's fault, but that doesn't change the fact that it is unacceptable and is an abomination. As you grow in your understanding of Scripture, you will see that Yahweh means business. He established the way in which we are to walk and live. You begin to see that 99% of the world does not believe, know, or follow the way. You start to see only about 1% actually believe, knows and understands, and follows the way. Only 1% are true Christians, the remnant.
We are the remnant of
Yahweh.
The Lord, from all the nations of the world. We are the remnant, Lord. Use these souls of fire. Send us to the lost, Lord, anointed with your fire. And we will preach Christ and him crucified. To every tongue and every tribe, so they will then decide to be the remnant, Lord, set their souls afire. We are the remnant, set us 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 afire.